Again, as far as the flood, big discussion here is whether the flood was universal in the sense that it covered the whole earth or whether it covered part of the earth. I'm content with the idea that the flood at least covered the extent of human beings and domestic animals. I tend to feel that the animals that were brought on the ark are primarily those as domestic animals that would have a rough time in the wilds, and perhaps some of the wild animals as well in the location that would be around where humanity existed before the flood. And the ark then saves Noah and his family, saves at least some of the animals, some of the kinds of the animals that you have in that location, and then the flood comes, wipes out humanity, certainly wipes out humanity, but at least Noah and his family are able to survive along with some of the domesticated animals, etc. I'm happy with that view. I don't think the terminology that you find in Genesis, basically chapters 7 through 9, necessarily point to a flood that covered every last mountaintop on earth. On the other hand, I can live with that. I can live with that. But again, here in my attempt to tie together science and scripture, to tie together the special revelation with the general revelation, I have a hard time seeing the separation of different kinds of animals on earth today. For example, marsupials in Australia, New Zealand, etc., from other kinds of mammals. A separation of animal forms between the New World and the Old World. I have a hard time seeing that separation if all of those animals were on the ark, and then after the flood water subsided, had those animals spread out and cover the earth. I have a hard time understanding how some of those divisions could take place. I don't have a hard time understanding that over the course of long periods of time, how those divisions could take place. So again, I'm very honest. I'm very open in saying that part of my interpretation of the flood really comes from what I think is valid science, but then when I look at the terminology in Genesis, I don't feel that it insists a universal flood. Okay, so that's basically where I am at that point. I must say that sometimes how I feel about whether I have a universal flood or a local flood kind of depends on what mood I'm in when I get up that day. But I'm tending more and more towards a local flood. But it's certainly something that I need to consider and look at periodically to see what is happening there. Now the second part of your question. Dinosaurs. I have no problem with dinosaurs existing up until about 65 some odd million years ago, around way before human beings came. And the end of the dinosaurs, a lot of theories that have been proposed. The one that kind of gained a lot of favor, then fell out of favor, but now is beginning to gain favor again as more and more evidence comes in, is that you had a huge collision between the Earth and a extraterrestrial body that raised a lot of dust on Earth, that cut down sunlight, that cooled off the Earth, destroyed a lot of plants, both because of the lack of sunlight and also because of fires that would have been generated as a result of the impact. Basically, that process being the reason for the end of the dinosaurs, the so-called impact theory. Catastrophic, by the way, interestingly enough, a catastrophic theory for the end of the dinosaurs. The theory proposed by Luis Alvarez and his son. There you have a situation where it appears that you have a cataclysmic end to the dinosaurs of 65 million years before humans appeared on the scene. I have no problem with that.
I've heard certain people say that the dinosaurs were brought into the ark, but they were baby dinosaurs.
Yeah. Well, if you do not accept the ages of the Earth, then you have a problem trying to correlate where all the animal life was and how it was brought on the ark. I have difficulty with that. Yeah, to me, I have no problem with the age of the Earth. I have no problem with dinosaurs existing 65 million years before human beings came on.
And they were extinct well before.
And they were extinct well before the flood.
You had a point last time also about the species of beetles, if I remember, tied in with this, and how there were a lot more species of beetles at that time. You couldn't have got them all in the ark or something like that. We have too many species now. because that's why you said that they evolved and they weren't all destroyed in the flood. Am I getting that correct?
Yeah, I don't know if I had mentioned that, but I think I know what you're getting at. Interestingly enough, correct me if I'm wrong, but my understanding is that there are more different kinds of beetles on the Earth than anything else. That's the greatest number of species really occurs in the beetle family.
Certainly in the insect family.
Yeah, certainly in the insect family, and in the insect family, the beetle family is the largest. Yeah, when you start to calculate how, if you really are bringing two of each kind of every species, and you're going to include insects as well as the animals, although insects are not mentioned, the mammals, primarily, and birds, etc. You try to bring two of each kind into an ark, even as large as the ark is, you're going to have a very difficult time bringing two of everything in. Maybe whoever was mentioning that was referring to that. I don't recall my mentioning it, but I may have. I don't remember what I said yesterday, let alone what I said a year ago. Comments to that?
A comment is that I don't necessarily think that insects would have had to be on the ark, because you have mosquitoes surviving in Alaska, where the conditions are extremely harsh.
Yes.
And under some very hot conditions, where they just very hot, and they hang on in the form of eggs or something, and if you don't need, we can stay there for a long
absolutely
time.
Right. Right.
And when the conditions are right,
we'll take Tom's question, and then we'll turn it back over to Mike. And if you have another question, you can see Mike's question. Go ahead, Tom.
Just a comment, very short comment about the flood. Meteorologically speaking, in order to have bad weather, you have to have good weather. It very simply means that, of course, low-pressure centers form. Well, high pressure, actually, it's due to high pressure, which means high pressure is found in the center of air masses. So that really, in order to have a storm, and by any meteorological sense, you have to have good weather somewhere else. You could have rain for a long period of time in one spot, but if it's going to meet any model that we have, meteorologically speaking, you have to have high pressure centers somewhere else.
And the thing, to get a lot of destruction, you don't need every last mountain covered. I think some of the flooding that occurred with Hurricane Agnes back in 72, was it? Some areas that were isolated. All you need is communication routes broken for animals and for humans, and you're going to have great difficulty. So somebody might say, well, if the flood wasn't up above the highest mountains, then why couldn't the people and the animals just run up to the highest places? Fine, we're going to find food. We're going to find shelter. Where are you going to find protection that is necessary? You're going to have a lot of competition in those high areas, and after a while, you're going to get wiped out anyway from exposure. So the idea that if the flood isn't universal, things really could escape, I don't buy. Not in the location where you have the water. As you say, in other locations, animals survive. Certainly fish survive. Plants can survive in various ways. Plants also can survive waters by going into some kind of a dormancy, or at least you have seeds that are carried along and then later buried, etc.
Thank you.